Your social media feed delivers plenty of advice, but it doesn't know you. It doesn't ask questions. It doesn't give physical exams or order tests. Doctors do. At the American Medical Association, we believe the best care starts with a real conversation with someone who understands the science and your unique health. So stay curious, ask questions, but when it's time to make decisions, make them with a doctor. Learn more at AMAHealthVsHype.org. That's AMAHealthVsHype.org.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Following the 11-1 mistrial in the Lindsey Clancy case, defense attorney Kevin Reddington is pulling out every stop to prevent a second trial, including going on national TV and asking the president for a pardon. Reddington knows a federal pardon is legally impossible in a state case, so this is a highly calculated chess move. Many are confused. What's he doing? Is he an idiot? Yes, he knows what he's doing. He's publicly boxed himself in, stating he will not accept a day in jail for Lindsey. So what exactly is the defense's end game here? Back with us to help break all this down, attorney and former prosecutor Eric Faddis, along with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. So, yeah, let's talk about that. Reddington obviously knows a presidential pardon doesn't even exist as an option in a state case. So what from attorney land, defense attorney land, might actually be the strategy here? How does a defense attorney weaponize a national television plea to the president to somehow create leverage against the local DA?
Sure. I mean, sometimes in defense, you've got to get creative. And there might be measures you take that have more of a practical import than a legal import. And this might be one of them. Because, you know, you look at the Tina Peters case. She was the clerk in Colorado, convicted of giving access to voting systems. And she requested a pardon from Trump, even though it was a state conviction. Well, lo and behold, in that case, Trump was being very vocal about wanting justice for Tina Peters, whom he believes is innocent. And ultimately, the Colorado governor felt that pressure. Trump directed it specifically at him. He commuted her sentence. He lessened her sentence, many folks in my state believe, because of this presidential influence. And so even though the president's pardon would not have any legal import in the state case, it could have some very serious practical import. And I think Reddington's leaving nothing on the table in considering all of those avenues.
It was an interesting move because I totally get that aspect, Eric. But then when you do a deeper analysis of where, again, this has not really been too much of a political case. It's been more of a gender case and mental health case, all these other areas. I mean, it's kind of crossed party lines and has to some extent, because if you follow the people or look at the people that Trump typically looks at, like the Megyn Kellys, the Nancy Graces, you know, these people are hardcore anti-Lindsey, throwaway, lockaway, and why are we even talking about this? She's a murderer of four of her three kids. And so with and Trump's statement that he made, the one statement that we saw was more in lines with that kind of. So I'm curious, do you still see that in play, or was, I mean, what do you think was in Reddington's mind, kind of in your mind, or was he seeing something bigger? Because so here's where I give credit. I give credit to the guy who's got 50 years of reps being Reddington about knowing exactly what he's doing. But a lot of us with smaller brains don't quite understand it necessarily as it's playing out. So you got a 50-pound brain, Eric. What do you think?
I think that there is a lot going on there, and might characterize Trump as a flexible on policy issues, on positions that might historically align with his party or something like that. There have been times in the past where maybe Republicans were of a certain position, and then Trump saw an opportunity. And he came out with something different, and in fact, sometimes sways the positions of his own followers to a different side. And so perhaps Reddington said, hey, I know that a lot of folks on that side might not be the biggest fan of my client, but Trump might be more receptive, might be open-minded. Maybe there's some kind of political traction for Trump there, and he's got an appetite for pursuing those things. And so, Reddington's doing the best he can for his client. And I think that on the balance, it makes sense to do everything you can. And this is one of those measures.
Yeah, good analysis. That's good insight. I like that.
It's interesting. This feels like a case where I don't think any politician, I don't care what side you're on, I think would want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, because there's no winning here. I am sure there, if we were to look at stats, there probably is some sort of correlation with where it would weigh heavier based on this party or that party to a certain extent. But even within that, even within a single party, I'm sure there's still quite a divide. This doesn't necessarily go along political lines per se. I don't see an advantage to any politician, including Trump, weighing in. Maybe Trump is your best bet, though. Someone who seems to not really give a shit about and just kind of do whatever he wants. If he feels one way, you might get him to do so or say something one way, even if it's not in the interest of his political leans. I don't know. I'm not trying to go political on this. It's just I don't see why anyone would take this hot potato, no matter who you are.
So what Eric did right there was he's looking at the behavior arc of a politician. If no one likes the Trump word, I don't care. But he's taking that behavior arc. If it's politically advantageous to him, and as you laid it out, Eric, first of all, It costs nothing to take the shot, as Reddington did, to see. And at the same time, though, if he's assessing, who knows, right? But if he's assessing that there's a large part of the voting population that would be aligning, that he doesn't currently have, that would be aligning with Lindsey, that coming up on midterms could actually help. So there's Reddington kind of reading the tea leaves as a, hey, it doesn't hurt to try. So that's a really interesting assessment, Eric.
I think it's a gamble.
Big, beautiful part. And I love Gen Z's. That's what I mean.
Yeah. The big, beautiful part. Yeah. I just don't know. I just think it's too hot of a potato. But who knows? People do dumb shit all the time. The new jail ultimatum, Reddington publicly had boxed himself in this week, stating he absolutely would not plead Lindsey into a day in jail. Okay. Why speaking a little bit before we get to any sort of new trial or pleading here. When a defense attorney draws a hard line like that in the media, is that a bluff, or does an 11-1 mistrial truly give him the power to demand terms like that when the state's sitting back on their side going, do we really want to do this again?
I think especially in the legal world, when you have leverage, when you have momentum, and we're talking about the highest stakes case there is, you've got to wield it. And I think that you can make some forceful representations. And sometimes, are you bluffing? Are you partially bluffing? You know, maybe she would take something that's like 2 years incarceration, and maybe she would get credit for that. For a lot of times, she's already been, you know, restrained, albeit at a psychiatric hospital. You know, I'm not sure that if there was a sweetheart deal that came through that said, hey, you know, have her do another 30 days jail, we're going to call it good, I think he would be a fool not to take that.
Yeah.
But I think it makes sense to show the DA, hey, we're not screwing around and we're willing to take this all the way next time. And what are y'all going to do about it?
Hey, Eric, one of the comments just posted up there. Thanks, Lisa. And I saw this online, too. We haven't talked about it yet. So by Reddington asking for the pardon, can that be used against him and Lindsay at the next trial if it goes to trial, saying that he automatically assumed her guilt? It's a little complicated, I think. And that's why I want your take on it, because they've already admitted that she killed her kids, but they're saying not guilty by reason of insanity. So how does that play out if by him making a statement he's seeking a pardon, does that automatically say, hey, we admit she's guilty?
Is a really good question, because especially historically, pardons would be given after a person was convicted. Then they're pardoned. The conviction is erased, as is the sentence. However, recently there have been preemptive pardons, including for like Joe Biden pardoned Hunter Biden preemptively, his son, because he was worried about a future prosecution. So I don't think it necessarily admits any sort of fault or criminal liability or conviction. So I think that you could request a preemptive pardon without acknowledging that kind of wrongdoing. So I think he's probably in the clear there. And I think a judge would never let it in the second go round, in part because it didn't necessarily come from Lindsay. You can't attribute everything a person's attorney says to that person. Mm. I think that for those issues, a judge would not let it in.
We're learning a lot more through the testimony of jurors to various media outlets about what was going on in that jury room behind closed doors about the holdout juror, the allegations basically stating that they saw reasonable doubt. They verbally said they saw reasonable doubt. That's the allegations other jurors are making about the one holdout. But they were going to follow their convictions. And their conviction said, we don't care. We don't care that there's reasonable doubt. I can see that. And a lot of people can. A lot of people can look at this case. This is why it ended the way it did. There's a lot of people that can easily look at this case and go, yeah, I understand how there might be a mental illness process going on here. I understand that she was failed by the system. She still killed her kids. I don't care. She should burn. That's the attitude of some people. I get it. That's how some people think. But it is also not following the law per se, or at least one part of the instruction of the law that was given by the judge to the jurors of follow the letter of the law, understand what reasonable doubt means, apply it to this case. Because in the hour-long jury instructions that sound more like and look on paper more like the sign this agreement here as you scroll through 72 pages of very fine type, and then apply every sentence of this to this case. Also in there is, you know, your convictions matter. Follow your convictions as well. Convictions aren't the law. Let's talk about that. You got that 11-1 split. Is this how the law is supposed to be followed? Is this what was intended when we give jury instructions about understanding reasonable doubt? Or has the minutiae of jury instructions literally turned into that huge list of instructions that nobody reads or fully understands, and they just end up checking the box at the end of the day because it contradicts itself throughout the entire process?
Jury instructions can be a confusing just a confusing, overwhelming mess for these jurors. I've sat through some jury instruction readings that take more than an hour, and the jury doesn't get the instructions in their hand usually as the judge is reading them, and so they're just being talked at for an hour about all these foreign, arcane legal concepts,
yeah.
And then we're saying, hey, apply every single word of what you just heard over an hour plus to this case. These aren't professional jurors. Like, that's hard as shit to do. So I think that that's a problem. We give jurors so much power, and rightfully so, to determine guilt or innocence, but we don't give them power to override the law and just make their own judgment calls that contradict that law. And so I think we got to be careful in terms of how much latitude we're giving jurors and their application of the law and what their role really is.
Did the juror violate the law? The one that held out? I'm not in any way saying, go after this person or be, I mean, but I'm just, if we're trying to understand the jury instructions, what we've understood this person said in the courtroom or in the jury room of understanding the reasonable doubt, but still sticking with it, were they violating the law or were they following their convictions? In my world, from what I understand as a layperson, just like that juror, I don't know. I think that's the problem here. I don't know. I don't think they knew. I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah, that is a tough issue. One possible analogy is, like, let's say that there was a case against an alleged gang member that he essayed someone, tortured them, and then brutally off them. And that during the trial, there was just insufficient evidence. There was reasonable doubt. But then a juror said, yeah, I know, but I hate this guy. He's scum of the earth. I think that he did do some of these things. And my convictions are saying, I can't let this guy go. And so I'm not going to vote not guilty. As difficult as that juror's situation might be, I think that that would not be following the law if there was reasonable doubt. And when we apply it to this situation, if this potential juror did acknowledge that he believes there is reasonable doubt, but my conviction should override that, that last part is just not consistent with the law and consistent with what jurors are allowed to do back there.
And so to follow up with that, Reddington, and again, correct me if I'm wrong on my facts on this, but I believe I saw that Reddington had stated that he might pursue the double jeopardy issue because of this one juror. Is that a possibility? Right. And that's my question is, so it's hearsay because only the other jurors are saying what that 11 jurors said, and is double jeopardy potentially in play because of that?
I don't think so, because double jeopardy would, I think, require a complete acquittal. I think it can't be that if there is still a disagreement among the jury and there's no finality as to the charges regarding guilt or innocence, I don't think you can go back and say, yeah, well, this juror screwed up and it should have been a not guilty, because it should have been a not guilty. That should have a preclusive effect on any future prosecution to prevent it. I don't think you can do that. And I don't think you can file an appeal like saying, hey, this juror should have voted for my side, but they didn't. And I'm mad about that. So court, I need you to change what the outcome was of this trial. I think that's a bridge too far. I don't think it's going to happen.
Did the judge fail in not putting in an alternate juror when Reddington brought that to his attention? I ask because if there are no consequences, let's say that this juror was wrong for what they did. I'm not saying that. I don't know. I'm just kind of playing this out. If in fact they were wrong, and we're never going to know, it's not like this is going to go to trial or like, we're never going to like try this person of what were you thinking and were you following the letter of the law? There is no consequences. You can do whatever you want if you're a juror. You're relying on actual rules to be enforced by a judge. If you want to sit there and stonewall the whole damn thing and nobody calls you out for it, or even if they do call you out for it and they're still like, well, we don't want to intervene, then there's no rules. It's do whatever you want. No one fucking cares because no one's going to hold you accountable and you can go on your merry way as soon as the day is over. When there's no consequences and no one is actually pulling the levers that exist to take care of someone who may try and hijack the system, if that's what was going on here, was that a failure for not going down that road? Or is that really getting into dicey territory when Now someone is arguing their conviction, say, no, I'm not going to go that way, even if the 11 are going that way. And I'm following your rules as I interpret them.
Right. We give jurors significant discretion in terms of how they're going to apply these laws. And so, you know, a judge needs to ensure that the jurors are informed on the law and they're not confused about the law. But the judge absolutely must stop short of influencing that juror's opinion. And so I think the judge could have done a better job at instructing the jurors when they came back as to what the law was. And even on top of that, Tony and Robin, the judge could have interviewed this holdout and could have said something to the effect of, I'm going to read you the reasonable doubt instruction, and then said, is it your position that there is no reasonable doubt, or is your position different? I don't think you can say like, hey, you're really thinking about this part of the instruction? Are you sure? You know, did you hear this other piece of evidence? Does that affect how you feel about it? I think you cannot go into that territory at all. And in fact, we're going to have juries that disagree. Have folks who interpret the law through their own lens, through their own experience, and in a different fashion. And even if we might not like their opinion, I think we got to be super careful about having any sort of sway or influence or pressuring these folks to give up some position they have about a case unless they are blatantly contradicting the law, in which case I think the judge does have to step in.
So why didn't he? I mean, or was everybody far more concerned about belaboring the beginning of their Labor Day weekend? We heard that reaction. You're asking these jurors to come here on a Saturday?
And then he stopped.
You're asking them to come back on a Tuesday? Well, you're asking this jury to put her away in a small cell for the rest of her existence. Maybe a Saturday is part of the fucking job. Why didn't they? Why didn't he?
You know, I think he should have been more hands-on. I always get so frustrated when I'm in trial and jurors are indicating some kind of confusion, indicating we don't know what to do. We're at a point where we can't move past it. We need some help. I think the judge has a duty to try to ensure that the process moves along in a just fashion. And sometimes that means informing the jurors of the law, assailing any confusion, and also individually interviewing certain jurors. And if the judge were to learn that one holdout was not following the law, I'm not saying that's what happened, but if that hypothetically did, I think a judge could say, hey, we have concerns about potential juror misconduct, about the integrity of the jury deliberations. That's why we have alternates. Why in the world not at least consider that? But I guess the prosecution would say, if you put in an alternate, you're taking away our only vote. You're putting your finger on the scales of justice. There are just so many potential pitfalls with the judge intervening with a jury deliberation.
And let's reverse it now, because a few people have put this in there too. So what would have precluded the 11 juror or the 12th from then going to the judge and saying, hey, these people are bullying me? Is there a mechanism for the one juror to write a note to the judge, the court, and say, I'm being bullied? And if he said something like that, like there's high pressure, that I don't feel it's fair. What's the repercussion of that? What can happen in those cases?
Yeah, that, and I was worried about something like that happening here. One thing, Robin, is the jurors don't always know that they can go to the court for help when the deliberations have stalled or something. They don't say, hey, and if you guys are deadlocked, make sure to come back to me and we'll consider a mistrial later. They don't want the jury to know that because they want them to go through the process, reach a final outcome. And so this juror might not even know that they could go to the judge. But if there was such an influence, such pressure, I think that is structural error during the deliberations. A mistrial would have to be or should be imposed at that time, and when we'd go round two.
So in other words, if this one juror had gone to the judge with a note saying there's pressure back there, Reddington could again called for a mistrial and it had a higher probability?
So could the prosecution too, and the prosecution could say, hey, the one person who was on our side is getting bullied back there. That is patently improper in terms of jury deliberations. Got to do a mistrial. I think that would certainly be on the table.
Is a result of a mistrial the same as a hung jury?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're still the same place we are.
Mistrial can be determined on other grounds beside a hung jury, but that's one of the grounds on which it could be determined.
It feels like patently insane that the jury doesn't fully understand the levers they can pull and the options they have. I find that interesting. Where I remember like 2 days before they actually finally came to the verdict, everybody's like, all they have to do is make one more call to the judge and it's done. But they don't know that. Like, why the fuck don't they know that? They should know every option that's available to them. You just spent an hour and a half reading the litany of instructions that contradict themselves, and you couldn't slip that sentence in there, an option they may actually have? Yeah, I love it.
I just caught that one. Sweetie Pie says 11 jurors had preconceived bias towards Lindsey Clancy. No, they didn't, if you actually watched the interviews of them afterwards. So, incorrect.
Yeah. Your thoughts, comment section, Substack, YouTube, be sure to drop them in there. We'd love for you to weigh in as we continue to break down the Lindsey Clancy case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Down 21 with just over 6 minutes remaining.
This is the moment, baby. This is the moment we separate the dogs from the boys. And if you ask me, I only got one question. Do you got that dog in you? Because it's never about the winners or the losers, but it is about the difference between those brave enough to put some action on the game and those who just want to watch from the sidelines eating off-brand pizza rolls. So sit down, lock in those picks, and trust that ow, dog in you. Underdog. Unleash your dog.
Terms may apply.